It's been a real privilege to be part of this service this morning and to be part of this dedication of little Thea. And the love that Morris and Nikki and their family have for little baby Thea is obvious, and rightly so. She's a beautiful baby and precious. Indeed, all of life is precious. But let's ask the question this morning and try to answer it. What is it that makes baby Thea and all people so precious and so valuable? What is it that gives human beings dignity? On a parenting course that we ran a little while ago here at Hook, we began by asking this question: what is a child? And then certain suggestions were given out in this book. And one of the suggestions by those who do not believe in a creator God is this: that a child is simply a random collection of atoms and chemicals. And that really is what a person who doesn't believe in God has to say. A child in human life is simply oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and a few other things as well. Basically water, fat, muscle, bone, and cells. But if that's all that human life is, then why do we love people? And why do we get so moved at the sight of human suffering? Is it just water, fat, muscle, bones, and cells that we love? Or is there something more? Another suggestion thrown out in that course was a child is simply a fashion accessory, a consumer item, because we live in a consumer age. And at a recent Paris fashion show, the models walked down the catwalk with a baby on them. And the newspaper headline was this: the baby is the ultimate fashion accessory. They can be artfully arranged over the shoulder or neatly swung from the hip. And so a celebrity waxes her 3-year-old daughter's eyebrows while she is sleeping. Fashion accessory? Random collection of chemicals? What is human life? Why is it so precious and so valuable? Well, it's because of what we've got on the screen, made in God's image. The Holy Scriptures tell us very clearly that we are made in the image of God. This is what the Bible says. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Human life is so precious because human life is made in the very image of God. Now, that doesn't refer to physical, bodily stuff, because God is a spirit. God is not a giant human being with big hands, big face, long hair, and long beard. It's not what God is. God is a spirit. So to be made in the image of God refers to who we are on the inside. What is that then? Well, the creation of Adam and Eve can tell us. Life, relationships, creative, and dominion. When God created Adam and Eve, he made them living beings. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God, you see, is the living God. He's not a dead idol. He's not a lifeless lump of metal, wood, stone, or clay. He's the living God. So to be made in his image means that we are living people as well. Death was never part of God's design. It's the result of a fallen world. But God is alive, and we are created to live and enjoy life. What's more, relationships. God exists in a really good relationship. We speak about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they cooperate together. There's no barriers. The communication they have one another is free, and there is love, and more love between them. It is the ultimate relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. So to be made in the image of God means that we also are made in relationship. And that means acceptance and love and joy and security, and we thrive in relationship. God exists in a relationship of love, and we are made in his image for relationship. And then creative ability. God is the creator. He made the world from nothing. By his word, he called forth the heavens and the earth. There was nothing. God spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it came to be. He imagined the sun and gave source to its light. That's phenomenal. What a creator God to design the universe, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon. It's all his invention. It's all his thought. It's all his design. It's all his creation. It's all his doing by the word of his power. God is the creator. And to be made in the image of God means that we have creative abilities. We have abilities of design, of building, of art, and drama, and music. And people can make stunning things. But God is the ultimate artist. And people are creative and artistic because they're made in the image of God. And God is the ruler. He has dominion over all. Everything is under him in all creation. He governs the universe and directs the planets. And people are made to rule and to have dominion over the animal kingdom, caring for it, training it, using it well and kindly, and over the planet, mining it, harnessing its resources, using the forces of nature for a good purpose. God has dominion and rule, and so people rule and govern because we're made in God's image. These four things, and more besides, but at least these four things sum up what it means to be made in the image of God. Humanity is God's masterpiece. Or if you like, we can say that a human being is God's selfie. We're made in the image of God, which gives dignity to human life. Every person has a majesty about them. Our dignity comes from who we are, not who we will become, not what we will attain, not our qualifications or our job titles. No, we have meaning and definition by birth. We are made in the image of God. And it's a tremendous thing to be a human being made in the image of God. And that's how it was at the beginning. But we look around and we realize it's not quite like that now. The image of God is shattered. Evidence and observation all around us tell us that the image that we have defined is broken and defaced in so many ways. So we were created to live, but all around there is death. Some cynic said that living is simply a process of dying. We were created for relationships, but now there's so many dysfunctional relationships. The image is shattered. We were made to use our creative abilities to do so much good to each other and to this world. But the image is shattered. And now we use our creative ability to destroy. So we create bombs and bullets and weapons of mass destruction. We carve idols and construct harmful human philosophies. We invent cruel and unjust ways of living. We use science not for good but to harm. The image is shattered. We were created to rule in justice, kindness, and mercy. But now power is used to abuse the weak, to be cruel to animals and other human beings, to oppress, to kidnap, to enslave, to traffic people. And cruel political regimes arise to suppress countries and spread fear. No, power is abused. So something terrible has happened. Something has gone horribly wrong with humanity. We've fallen from our created condition. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. One rule he gave them, they disobeyed it. They tried to become gods themselves. And the whole world fell apart when humanity rebelled against God. And that image that was there in Adam and Eve right at the beginning is now broken. It's shattered. So instead of living under a blessing, we live under a curse. And one generation passed this on to another generation. And we find ourselves in a broken world with a broken dream, with broken people and broken relationships, and the despair that faces us all is death. Why? Because the image of God has been defaced within us. We were created as God's masterpiece, but someone has come along and slashed the canvas. The picture still shines through here and there, but basically it's in ruins and tatters, and every part of the image has been defaced. All things are not as they were in Eden, as God first created them. And that's why we've got sorrow and sickness and death and destruction and despair and hopelessness, because we ruin things. That's life as we know it today, a shattered, broken image of God in human beings. And if that were the end of the story, then we would all be locked up in a cell of despair. But God is good, and God is loving, and God is kind, and God has a plan, and God is at work in this very day to restore his image in people. He's restoring the image of God in those who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Get what that scripture says. We are created to be like God. Right at the beginning, we were made in the image of God, to be like God, to mirror God upon planet Earth. Then someone shattered the mirror, shattered the image. But God is at work again, powerfully, wonderfully, intricately, by grace and through love, to make us like him in true righteousness and holiness. And today, God is at work in people, and he is at work in an amazing way to change his disciples to be like him. So he's restoring his image in people. He's restoring life within us. He's bringing us to life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. We have the gift of eternal life. And God brings us to life in Jesus. He's restoring our relationships. He's giving us new powers of creativity and dominion over sin. Not all at once, but gradually. And God is doing this. God is at work even today in the disciples of Jesus. And you can see it. The evidence is there in a disciple's life. So you can see that a person who once had an existence characterized by death and destructive patterns of life, you can see they come to trust Jesus, they come to follow Jesus, and they come to life. They enjoy life. God is in their life. You see it in a disciple of Jesus when their relationships begin to be healed. As a believer, they try to repair broken relationships. Reconciliation, not alienation, is the name of the game for them. Jesus said, love one another. And a disciple of Jesus takes that really seriously. You see it in a disciple as they begin to be recreated in the image of God in their creative thoughtfulness. So many things in life today have been invented by disciples of Jesus. So many good things, so many scientific discoveries, so much in medicine has been invented and almost created, put together by those who through the centuries have been disciples of Jesus. You'll find that disciples try to be creative in helping one another and forming welcoming and warm environments around them and giving people good personal space. They think of ways to bless others, because they're creative. A disciple of Jesus enjoys as well dominion and rule. They won't give cruelty. They won't be mean. They won't have malice or nastiness. There'll be no oppression about them. A disciple of Jesus will be kind and gentle in their rule. They'll seek to combine authority and meekness together. That's why we need Christians in politics. That's why we need Christians leading big businesses, because their power is used in such a just and fair way. And God is at work in millions and millions of people to restore his image in them. So that image that was there right at the beginning, the image that has been shattered through sin, is now being restored in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is at work, and he is a God of all grace. And it is an amazing grace as well. But we could ask as we close, how can God do that? How can God deal with all the fallenness and with all the sin How can God reverse the fall? How can he do that? Well, the way that God restores the image in a human being is quite incredible. And it's one of the most amazing true stories in the whole of human history. Listen. In order to restore us to God's image, Jesus took to himself each part of that shattered image and reversed it. Let me repeat it. In order to restore us to God's image, Jesus took to himself each part of the shattered image and reversed it. And he did it on the cross of Calvary. So in order to restore life, Jesus went through death. His death paid the price of sin, which demands death. And in his death, Jesus beat death. And through his resurrection, he gives life. In order to restore relationships, on the cross, Jesus underwent the biggest broken relationship anyone could ever undergo in order to heal people's relationship to God and to each other. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus went through that separation from his Father in order to bring us to be reconciled and at peace with his Father. In order to restore our creative ability to true holiness, then on the cross, Jesus experienced the worst of humanity's fallen creative ability. Wood is for carpentry and craftsmanship. Nails and hammers are for constructing good things to sit on, to eat from, to sail in. Trees are for admiring and for beauty. But one day a tree was cut down, and its wood was created into a cross. And Jesus was laid on it and had nails hammered through his hands and feet to crucify him in order that he might defeat humanity's destructive madness. And to restore true dominion and rule, Jesus submitted to the fallen rule of Rome and Pontius Pilate and was cruelly abused so that he might destroy Satan's dominion and bring us under the kind, gentle rule of God. All these four things Jesus did on the cross, the four points to the cross. And each one of those four points can represent part of the image of God being restored. It represents fallen humanity. It can represent restored humanity, life, relationships, creation, and rule. And he who was in the very image of God suffered that image to be shattered in him, so as to restore the true image of God in us. And that's good news. That's the gospel. That means in your life this morning, right here, right now, you don't have to be falling apart. You don't need to be breaking up. You can be put back together. For this is what God does in Christ. He puts us back together again. So what is your life? Your life has dignity because you are in the image of God. But that image might be shattered in you. And why not this morning? Why not come to that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? And why not say to God the Father, my life is broken. It is shattered. You're the one that can heal me and restore me. Please do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. And I come to follow Jesus, deal with my brokenness and shattered image and put me together again. And you know, with all your heart, if you do that with all your heart, if you seek the Lord, he will be found. And today, your very life can start to be put back together again. And you can live in the image of God. Become a disciple of Jesus. The narrow way ends in life. The broad way ends in destruction. Let's pray together. Take a few moments to think. Life is so busy, we rush on one thing to the other. What have you heard this morning that means something to you? celebration of life in baby Thea. Prayers and Bible reading and the word of truth brought to your heart by the Spirit. How has God spoken to you this morning? Don't ignore him. He speaks. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would show us what true human dignity is, that life is precious. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ died to recreate us in the image of God, and help each one of us, we pray this morning, to follow him, that we might know life, relationships, creation, and true power and authority. We pray this in his name. Amen.